If you're over in a coffee shop, come on over. Fourth quarter. I like that. Fourth quarter. We've been here. We spent some time together at coffee shop, eating together, drinking some coffee together. We spent some time in worship. We spent some time in prayer. Now we're just going to spend a few moments in the Word of God and together and let God speak to us through His Word this morning and see what He may want to unhinge in our life or unhook in our life, so to speak, or make sense of in our life. And so as we navigate the next few moments together, I always pray that I would be attentive, that I would be aware, that I would be able to communicate well, and I pray that for all of us, that we would be attentive and aware, and just that I just was doing some research and some study and listened to a guy how to preach better, how to communicate better. And that's, I'm always honing those skills. And so kind of this online course that I looked at, this guy was giving some hints on how to communicate more effectively. And he says, to tell you the truth, in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, and so forth and so on, you had to be more interesting than the dots on the ceiling, because people would count the blocks in the ceiling or the dots on the ceiling. Unfortunately or unfortunately, today we have to be more interesting than everything on your iPhone. And so he was challenging those. Can you communicate in this relatively short period of time some powerful truth? Get everyone what goes out of there, or the majority of people would go out of that setting and saying, that's what I want, a piece of that. I want to know more about that. That made sense to me. I want to move with God with that. Or however you might respond to the things that are shared from this moment in the service. And so that's my goal, as I'm always wanting to hone that and be sharpened to that and help us understand the Word of God. So fourth quarter to me is highly important, as well as first, second, and third quarter. Games are won and lost in each quarter. And so here we go, fourth quarter. I can remember back in the day, I realized it gets more and more back there than it used to be. I can remember like 1969. So I can remember, it's back in the day, and this is probably back in 70. You know, I'm getting a little bit worried. I start talking like my grandfather or my dad, you know, back in 70 or back in 60. But it was probably in 1970, 1971. We were still living on a country road called Butler Hill, and there was one road that went around the top of the mountain. Just literally drove around the top of the mountain, and we lived on that road that was around the top of the mountain. There was no roads over the top of the mountain, because really you were the top of the mountain. So you could walk from, and that was good hunting in those areas, and we would walk all over that top of the mountain. But there was one road just literally drew around the top of the mountain, and we lived on that road. And there was many farmers on that road, and my dad had a couple acres. We always had a goat or a cow or a sheep or something, and some trees and different things. I had a very experiential childhood. And I'm so thankful that I didn't grow up in the era where somebody already did my thinking for me, or tried to with electronics or whatever. I liked growing up in the environment that I grew up in. I think it has a very powerful environment to grow up in. And just to be able to navigate and investigate all kinds of things. Well, my brother and I were up in the second story window of our house, and we were many things that we did out of that second story window that I won't divulge from the public forum here. But at one time we were in that window. We had a window open. The screen was out. Of course, the screen just basically is in the way. And it wasn't a screen. It was in a window. It was like one of those wooden ones with metal. Like, you know, you sit it in and set the window back down on it. So when the screen wasn't in there, you had to have some sort of tube before, or your sister's Barbie doll or something to hold up the window, you know. So we were holding up the window, and really what we had was a dish of bubbles. And we were blowing bubbles out the window of the house. And I found it very interesting, and we had an old set of binoculars there. And we would blow bubbles, and then we would try to track how far they went. It was like recon, you know what I mean? It was like, you blow, I'll watch, you know, and it's just, man, you got to watch. I mean, and they get out there a long ways, and maybe they don't make bubbles like they did in 1971, but we would watch these bubbles, and the wind would come, and it would carry these bubbles, and literally several hundred yards, we could still see this bubble going, and you're going to have to take my word for it. I don't have any video proof of that, but literally, we could see it with a binocular, and we were amazed. Okay, it got to the roof. Or okay, it got to the neighbor's shed, or okay, it got to the neighbor, whatever, you know. And so we would kind of have those measured off, and we just had such a time with bubbles at that moment. I can just, it just like it was, I mean, I was 6 years old, and I can remember that endeavor with those bubbles coming out. And as I was thinking about that this morning, or this week, and I was thinking about bubbles, and I don't know why things get in my head. They just do, and most people don't know why they get in my head either. They're in my head, and I'm thinking about that. I said, where was bubbles discovered, or who invented bubbles? And really, nobody really has an answer for that. But I did find some paintings from 1733. You can see mid-1700s, you can see kids that were being painted blowing bubbles. And I found it very interesting that was intriguing and enough to have someone paint a picture of that. And I practiced the artist names, and I don't know how to say those names, so that's why I put them on there, because I stand in front of the mirror and I say the name out loud, and it just doesn't work. I can barely speak English, let alone things that don't look like English. So in 1700s, and then I found some paintings from the 1800s that were showing bubbles. And it was enough, important enough, so to speak, that they included them in their paintings. And I found it interesting as I thought about bubbles, and more I found out that they were introduced into the National Hall of Fame in 2014. They're in this. They're in the Hall of Fame. I just thought they were a bubble. But in the Toy Hall of Fame, these bubbles have been listed. And as I was thinking about just the number of kids, you know what? If I was to go around and say, I'm going to hand every kid here some bubbles, the first thing was mom's going to say, they're going to make a mess. One thing I realized, that bubbles aren't really indoor stuff, you know. They're much better outside. But I realized something else, that every bubble... Not 1970 bubbles, are they? But I was going to go until I got one. But you know, another thing I realized this week was this. Every bubble is full of a breath. And maybe one of the biggest shames is automatic bubble blowers. I don't know. But that contains a breath. And wherever it goes, does the bubble pop or does it release the breath? You know, and as I thought about that this week, just that reality that every bubble that I blow contains my breath. And I was thinking about that, and this is the very breath of God. And if is there bubbles that God blows, so to speak, in our lives to release into our life in every special spot, every place that He wants His breath to go? Does He float it to us? Am I making sense this morning? It really made sense to me that I was thinking, man, God, do you fill these? What are these bubbles that you fill with your very breath? And they float around, and it's containing the very breath of God. And it's floating through life, and maybe it's one that you're supposed to reach out and grab a hold of and pop, and maybe it's one that just pops on you, but it just doesn't pop. The bubble just doesn't pop. It releases the breath that's within the bubble. And to me, that just started, all of a sudden, I started getting chills down my spine and say, God, Are you breathing bubbles into us? Is there bubbles around that you're just kind of floating around? And I want to reach out. I want to be like my granddaughters that are just relentless on popping bubbles. You almost can't blow a bubble fast enough. I said, God, that's what I want. That's where I want to be. I want to be that person that when you blow a bubble my way, that I pop it and I receive your breath. I want to know what you want me to know, God. And as I started to investigate the scripture and seeing where the bubbles or where the breath of God, how does the bubbles, where do they come from? What does it look like? And I found this passage in Job, or in Joel 2:28, and it's quoted by Peter in 2:16. He said, afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And as I think about that, you know what prophesy means? Prophesy means that under divine guidance, you speak out something. And so he said, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to lay out some divine providence on people, and they're going to prophesy. And I started thinking, God, is that way that you breathe your breath into our lives? That at times that people are going to receive a divine inspiration from you, and that's a bubble that you've exhaled into them, and they breathe it out, and we grab a hold of that bubble, and that releases your breath in my life. And he goes on to say that your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And as I have dreams in my life, and I know some of you have dreams in your life, and I'm thinking, God, is that the way you release your breath into our life at times? Through the prophetic word or through the prophecy that you may give someone else or through the very dream that you give me, is that a bubble that's falling into my sleep? That's what the scripture's saying. It's not just Old Testament, because Peter quotes it in Acts when the Spirit comes upon them and they start seeing this miraculous speaking out. What are they speaking out? They're speaking out the very breath of God. They're hearing the very breath of God in their dreams. He said, and your young men will see visions. And I don't know where we all stand on all of that stuff. On all that interesting to me, to say the least, that God says, I'm going to do something in your life, and I'm going to do something in other people's lives, and they're actually going to be my breath, and they're going to carry my breath into your life. And sometimes I can't get you to settle down enough while you're awake, so while you're sleeping, I'm going to speak into your life. And at other times, I'm going to give you a vision. I'm going to show you a picture. I'm going to show you something while you're awake. You know what? I had an interesting definition of a vision. And it just makes sense to me. Everyone right now, think of a room in your house. Do you see the couch? Do you see your bed? Do you see it? Do you see it? Do you see it? Can you see it in your mind's eye? That's a vision. You're not physically seeing that. You're seeing it in your mind's eye. And God said, I'm going to give you visions at time because I want you to know my breath in your life. And I'm going to give you a vision. I'm going to have to give a prophetic word to people. I'm actually going to give you a dream. So I started to process, God, is this the way you're going to speak into our lives? And he said, yes, at times. I did it in Acts, and I'm going to do it again and again and again. But also I found this in Scripture. Push the button, please. I found this in Scripture. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood for what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And so all of a sudden, I start seeing, God says, some of the bubbles I put in your life are nature. I just want to speak to you. It's in my creation. My very breath is not, creation is not me, but I am creation, and I speak it, and I show you, and I demonstrate who I am through creation. So sometimes, I'm going to speak to you through creation. Because I want you to understand something. So some of the bubbles in your life, some of the breath that comes into your life are going to be through creation. He goes on in some different passage with this. I have much more to say, Jesus is speaking, than you can now bear. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And so all of a sudden, now I'm starting to see. You see, all these bubbles can come into my life, right? God's breath comes in through the prophetic word, through a dream, or through a vision, or through creation, because God talks to us at all angles, all the time. He wants to say something to us, I believe, and the bubbles are floating through our lives. They're not just to look at. They're to take a hold of and release the breath of God in your life. The bubbles are cool looking, he says. But the reason they're there is to carry the breath. I don't want you to get focused on the prophetic. I want you to get focused on the breath that comes through it. Don't get focused only on creation. Get focused on the breath that comes through my creation. And here the Holy Spirit is working. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is going to work in your life, and he's going to teach you, he's going to show you, he's going to unveil some of the stuff that God wants you to know. He's going to do that in your life. And so some of the things in your life is going to be the Spirit inside of you saying things to you, and you're going to respond to them. And I want us to begin to learn that they're the very breath of God. It's not just a cool idea. But it is the very breath of God being released into our life through the Holy Spirit, through God's creation, through the prophetic word, through a dream, through a vision. God says, I want to talk, and I'm talking, and I'm speaking into your life. I want you to receive my breath. I'm going to package it in bubble after bubble after bubble after bubble. Continuing in a portion of the Bible with this. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. He said, I just want you to know, too, that the word of God is my very breath. So I may speak to you through the prophetic word. I may give you a dream. I may show you a vision. I may speak to you in creation. I may speak to you right directly through the Holy Spirit right into your life. I may speak to you through the Word of God. But the goal is, God said, that I want you to receive my breath. I want you to receive my breath. Push the button. Through the prophetic word, back. Through the prophetic word, or through the dream, or through the vision, or through the creation, or through the Holy Spirit, or through the Word of God. Let me just make it clear. In my belief system, and I believe I'm accurate on this, that all those things work in conjunction with one another. One will never supersede the other, so to speak. One will never speak in opposition to the other. So even if you're in the Word of God and you believe it says something, you may want to check it out with other people that are walking with God with you. If you hear something from the Holy Spirit, and you may want to flesh that out or with the Word of God. If you have a dream, you may want to flesh it out with the Word of God and somebody walking with the Spirit. Are you getting me? God wants to speak into our lives, but also the enemy wants to take those bubbles and fill them full of stuff too. And so we don't want to be deceived. And he said, I want you to give and receive my breath. And so I'm going to give you these things, at least these things, in just a surface understanding of the Scripture. This is the way that God breathes into our lives. And they all work together in unity. They all work together. And again, I don't know where we all stand on the prophetic, the dream, in the visions, and in the directing of the Holy Spirit in our life. We can continue to flesh those things out as we go down through life together. But one thing I want you to do, as I wrote this message, I said, God, what do you want us to know? This is what I want. This is the answer that he gave me, that I am breathing into your life. You don't have to understand all the little details right now, but you got to know, I'm the God of the universe, he said, and I'm breathing into your life. And if I breathe through a prophetic word or I breathe through the scripture, it's me breathing into your life. And I want you to receive my breath. What is our relationship with the breath of God? What is your relationship with the breath of God? Push the button, please. Does the breath of God breathe out rules and regulations in your life, or words that rescue? How do you see the Word of God? How do you see the breath of God? Do you see it as rules and regulations, and that's all it is, just rules and regulations? Or are they very words that rescue? How do you see it? Push the button here. Does the breath of God breathe out words of criticism or love and compassion? Sometimes I think we think that the word of God breathes out criticism. And God says, I don't want, it's not criticism. It's love and compassion. I want my breath to you to know that my breath is love and compassion. Do you, push the button, does the breath of God breathe out emptiness and worthlessness or words of purpose? Are you with me this morning? How do we look at the word of God? How do we look at the very breath of God? Do we look at it as breathing out emptiness and worthlessness or words of purpose? Push the button one more time. Does the breath of God breathe out just words, or are they words that God is using to reveal himself to mankind? To be honest, just really lately in my life, I began to really know that the word of God is to reveal God to me more than what I should do in this world. It's more about what God wants me to know about him than what I should be doing. God has things for me to do and be, lead me and guide me, but I'm trying to be led and guided by a God I do not know. And God says, my very breath is so that you will know me. I want you to know my voice. I want you to know who I am. I want you to know my love and my compassion. I want you to know my might and my power. I want you to know my holiness. And I want you to know my justice. And I want you to know who I am. I want to reveal myself to you. And I will do it. Yes, I will do it by floating the prophetic, the dream, the vision. I will do it through the Holy Spirit. I'll do it through my creation. And I'll do it through my word. How do you see the breath of God? Just allow me just to throw some scriptures our way, just in the midst of who we are today. Just listen. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice with a trumpet, which said, write on the scroll of what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus. And I used to read this just like I started to read it. Write on the scroll! Like this big king. But all of a sudden he says, to Ephesus, to Smyrna. Because I want my bubble full of my breath to float to Ephesus. Write on the scroll to Smyrna and to Pergamum. Write on the scroll to Thyatira, Sardis, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Write on the scroll. Write on the scroll because I have something that I want to tell them. I want that. I got something for them. Write on the scroll. Blow it into the bubble. And let it float to Ephesus because I want to tell them something. Push the button, please. I believe this. The breath of God is intended to communicate the heart of God. Are you with me this morning? The breath of God is to communicate the heart of God. And I got just a few of these. I got like two cases of bubbles up here, but I don't have a point for each one, so you can breathe easy. But again, I asked God over and over and over. I said, God, what do you want me to, where do you want us to end with this? And he said, I just want you to end with this, that my breath is going to be breathed into your life. Whether I do it through a means that I've described to you or I do it through another means, this is what I want. I want you to know my heart. And I'm going to breathe into you my breath because I want you to know my heart. Continuing in that Revelation passage, it says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. That makes sense to me. Who in the world is that? And when I saw... And when I turned, I saw seven gold lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a gold sash around his chest. Push the button. His head was, and hair were white like wool, white as snow, and his eyes were blazing fire, and his feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing water. In his right hand he held 7 stars. Out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. I think the breath of God is intended to reveal the power of God. Are you with me this morning? Really, just this has got to make sense to all of us, not just me. God says, I'm going to speak into your life because I want you to know my heart. And I'm going to speak into your life because I want you to know my might. We sing the song, Blow, Mighty Breath of God. Blow in this place. Do you really want it to blow in your life? Do you really want to know the heart of God? Do you really want to know the power and the might of God? Is it okay if we sing the song, Blow, Mighty Breath of God, blow, and he actually does? Because I want you to know what my love is like. I want you to know what my power is like. I want to blow into your life. Continuing in Revelation, I got to go. So here we go. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. No kidding. And just so you know, that's a great verse that if God would come down here, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. No, you ain't. You're going to suck dirt. In his grace and mercy, he'll listen to us. But don't think you're going to kick your way into God's presence. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And then he placed his right hand on me. And he said, don't be afraid. Woo-hoo. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, and I am the living. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. I think the breath of God wants to breathe into us. The breath is intended of God is intended to reveal the personal touch of God. All his might and all his power, and he walks over to the guy, and he says, I got you. I want you to know who I am. I'm going to touch you. My breath is full of love. My breath is full of power. My breath is full of might. And my breath is very personal. And I'm going to breathe into you the breath. The breath of God is intended to reveal the personal touch of God. Continuing just through, scattered throughout the Bible now. To the Jews who had believed in Jesus, him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And I know we've seen that verse over and over and over, but really what it's saying, I think, in this context is this. The breath of God is intended to bring you freedom. If you hear my words and put them into practice and you show yourself you're my disciple, and I always kind of camped on you, show me yourself my disciple, you do what God tells you, but really what God's saying, and you'll be free. I'm going to release my breath into your life, and it's going to bring freedom. It's intended to, stop, it's full of love, and it's full of power, and it's full of might, but you got to know that my breath also brings freedom. I want to breathe freedom into your life. I'm not here to kill your joy or to mess with you or to screw you up. I'm here to unscrew you. Listen, let me breathe into your life. Please let me breathe into your life. God says, I want to breathe into your life and watch that love saturate your soul and your heart and watch it bring the might and the power that you need in your life. Watch me personally touch you. You matter to me, Renee. You matter. And I will touch you, and my word will touch you. Come on
because I'm a personal God. And I will touch you, and I will touch you, and I will touch you. And I will set you free. And I will breathe into your life, and freedom will come like you've never experienced before. Blow, mighty breath of God, blow. Breathe upon this place. Blow, mighty breath of God. Blow, mighty breath of God. Blow and breathe on this place. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose, and my life was completely out of control, and the environment was around me was wreaking havoc on my life. But because of the word of God had spoken to my life, I was like a man who built his house on the rock solid foundation. And even though all this stuff in my life was coming in over and over and over, I was able to stand firm because God breathed firmness into my life. Blow, mighty breath of God, blow. Push the button, please. The breath of God is intended to bring stability to your life. Are you with me this morning? The breath of God is intended to bring stability to my life, and I know that some of you know that. That when my life was shattered beyond what I can ever imagine, and God breathed into me, and I felt myself being stabilized. Then I felt myself being able to stand up and under a strength that was not my own. It was strength that only could come from God, saturated in love, mighty in power, with His personal touch in your life. Blow, mighty breath of God, blow. Breathe upon this place. God demonstrates His own love for this. If you think, where's this guy going? The Bible today, okay? It just wants to just inspire me that God wants to breathe this into our life. God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ breathed into our lives. The breath of God. Push the button, please. Is reveal the love of God over and over and over in Scripture. God says, I want you to know I love you. I love you. And no matter what happens, this love goes on forever. Because my breath is eternal. The breath doesn't get scraped off at anything that might happen to you on this earth. It goes on through. It carries you to the next levels with me. I will personally touch you. I will dispense in you love. I will dispense in you power. And I'm going to do that through the bubbles I blow in your life. For He rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His Son. He loves the Son He loves, in whom you have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. You want to know what else that the breath of God does? It breathes into us life-revealing truth. He said, I want to breathe into you this truth that you can get nowhere else. Will you let me breathe into you truth? Blow, mighty breath of God, blow. Breathe in this place. I got to ask again, because God's not going to force a bubble into your life. Is it okay if God breathes into your life? Because He's going to reveal truth into your life. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. The breath of God is intended to bring us the pathway of peace. And I knew when I ended up with this many bubbles that this was going to, I'm going to need to keep moving. Blow, mighty breath of God. Breathe into this place. See, this has become a prayer of mine. As I read the Word, as I spend time with God, as I hear other people speak into my life, under my breath, I begin to sing, blow, mighty breath of God. Because this is not just a Bible, not just writings, this is the very breath of God. Breathe in this place. Blow, mighty breath of God. Breathe in this place. Then I heard a voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. I think the breath of God is intended. Push the button, please. The breath of God is intended to call us to action. What if God breathes into your life and says, rally the troops, Bill. Load a trailer full of stuff. Drive 15 hours. Unload the trail and turn around and drive 15 hours home. I'm calling you to action. God, it really doesn't fit my schedule. Put on the full armor. This is the last one, I promise. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm out of bubbles up here in that crate. That crate is empty. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take a stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Blow, mighty breath of God, because you're living in a very hostile and you're living in a very hostile environment, and the breath of God is going to be breathed into you to give you victory. Push the button, please. The breath of God. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil does come, you will be able to take a stand. You stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, push the button one more time, you will be able to stand. The breath of God is intended to reveal, to ready us for victory. Are you with me this morning? I butchered that reading, I know. I got Dick and Jane books at home. I'm going to practice more. But don't underestimate what the power of God wants to breathe into your life. He wants to breathe into your life victory. Oh, breathe, mighty breath of God. Breathe upon this place. Are you with me this morning? Is it okay? Is it okay if God breathes into your life? Is it okay if the mighty breath of God breathes into your life and breathes into you? Push the button, please. Blow, mighty breath of God, move upon this place. Blow, mighty breath of God, won't you move in power and grace? Then look at, I really just never realized it this week. Streams of mercy falling down. The very breath of God, streams of things we don't deserve falling down. We don't deserve His love. We don't deserve His power. We don't deserve His personal touch. That's why it's mercy. He said, I'm going to breathe into you. Oh, streams of mercy falling down. Oh, light of heaven all around. Light of heaven. This song makes so much sense to me now. that when I blow into your life and I blow this amazing breath of God into your life, streams of mercy come falling down and the light of heaven is all around. And it's falling to the ground. Blow, mighty breath of God. Blow upon this place. Blow, mighty breath of God. Spirit of fire, fan the flame. Passion for your holy name, burning everything. Blow, mighty breath of God. Blow, mighty breath of God. Can we ask for that today? Turn it up, Joe. Sing it.
Mighty breath of God. Upon this place, and blow, mighty breath of God, that you move in power and grace. Streams of mercy. Thank you.
that's even a possibility that we could request that. The very breath of God breathed into our life, full of love, full of a personal touch, full of power, full of might, full of victory, full of stability, full of freedom. Blow, mighty breath of God. Breathe into this place called Ed. Right into this place. Into this place. Into this room. Into us. Breathe, mighty God. Blow into this place. Burn up what's not yours. Father, I just thank you so much. I thank you for that reality that we can even ask. Father, help me never see the Word of God as anything less than the breath of God. Father, I thank you. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day.